the impression, just from what you read and can hear, that with the pressure on all the colleges today, many more applicants than they can take, that the question of marks has become secondary, because there are quite a few that have the marks that are qualifying. And therefore, you have to look to other things as a basis of choice. And I think I read an article by the president of Amherst in which I got the very clear impression that a well-rounded boy, too, would come out ahead of a boy who wasn't quite so well-rounded, marks being equal.
Well, there's a question that's well-rounded with a flat head.
He spoke of the marks. He said that we have plenty with the right marks. Marks will no longer do it. You've got to have something else, and he mentioned the fact they had 25 high school football captains in their class. All of them had the right marks.
I think this is true. I think you do. You come up, well, this year we came up with, I suppose, 350 people that were clearly qualified to do the work at Hamburger on the basis of their board scores, on the basis of their school record. And I think you have to look behind the marks. One of the things that is important to me is simply, what is the boy achieved? What has he accomplished? Has he dabbled in this and dabbled in that? Not really accomplished anything. How deeply is he going into a particular area?
Well, the breadth of his extracurricular activities wouldn't be a factor then.
To me, the breadth might be, if it's simply breadth, it might be a reason to reject it.
Bill Jed?
This question to Bill Ambler. Two questions. Is there a definite relationship you have between the resident student, the day student, and tax the capacity of the facility? Resident students, but there must be a flexible limit as far as the day students. Second question, what's your policy regarding married students who may be living on campus with one or two?
Well, the dormitories are very full.
They are full.
We have admitted, I suppose, in the 2 years that I've been on campus, we have admitted 110 or 111 resident students each year, and this was all it could take. Then we admitted 8 or 9 day students. It so happened that there were, both years, there were 8 or 9 very strong students who wanted to be day students, so that it immediately took care of itself.
What is the number of total students? Day students, not around 75 or 80 day students, about a total of 450?
I don't think they're that many. I'm not sure.
It was 57 once last year, I remember. It was 57 or 8 once last year.
I think it was 60 to 460, something like that. And on your married student question, very, very few students are married when they enter college.
I realize that.
We don't quite know what the pattern is on this for the future. Last year, we found, I think there were 14 married students, 12 in the senior class. And this was four times as many as the year before. Now this year, I haven't seen the figures. I don't know what they are. So this is something that happens as the student goes through college and you'll get married and become a day student. And you aren't very likely to say, well, no, you can't come because you're married.
Well, the point I was making, that the number being increased by increasing day students,
yes, to some extent,
by married students or
that's right,
by regular day students. And is that a desirable thing that you would want to do?
I think it could be increased to some extent. I have a feeling that most people in the Philadelphia area forward to going away to college. And consequently, we have very few students who are really interested in being a day student. My own personal feeling is that the fact that I was a
truer than American students. Although last year, I don't know who all the day students are this year, but last year we had a couple of very outstanding day students who were very active in college activities.
How many of these freshmen were admitted
on
scholarship? And what is the average scholarship of the freshmen?
42 of the freshman class of 120 were on scholarships awarded by the college. I think very close to 50% of the class is on scholarship, either college scholarship or scholarship from outside sources. Most of the scholarships, and I don't have a figure on average scholarships, but most of the scholarships are of the 800, 900 variety for 1 year. In other words, very close to tuition.
How many national merit?
In this year's entering class, there were...
I lost six. 13, including General Motors.
There were 13, including General Motors. I think that there were 5 National Merit Scholars. Yes. 3 General Motors and 5 National Honor Society.
Ingram Richardson.
My question is off the subject of admissions. I don't know whether we finished that, but can we go on to something else?
Sure, go ahead.
This is more of a concern, I think, as the old Quakers might say, rather than a question. And I really wish Don Wilbur were still on the council, because I know I would have his support. Putting the question bluntly, what is going to happen to the engineering department at Haverford College? Before asking perhaps you, Hugh, for an answer to that, I'd like to make a few comments. The Hillis Laboratory down there is the result, I think, of a foundation that runs to or fund amounting to about $400,000, or the building was put up from that, and about $300,000 more or less remains, I believe. The facilities, while they're small, they are adequate for basic engineering, which is something which is urgently needed in many fields of endeavor today. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that Haverford College should try to compete in engineering with not only MIT, but Swarthmore and many others. But I do believe that in this day of mechanization, graduates from Haverford College with the liberal arts that Haverford has given them, if in addition they may have a basis of fundamental engineering, they will be in great demand by industry across the board. With the engineering facilities that are here, I understand, having asked a few questions this morning, that we have exactly one freshman taking advantage of the engineering facilities today. Secondly, I find that there are only 24 enrollments, not students, but enrollments in all the engineering courses that are offered. Now, I don't know how others feel, and I'm afraid that the majority of this group may be much more versed in the liberal arts and perhaps do not have too much experience in engineering to enable them to recognize the demand for men with basic engineering training. So I don't know what comments can be made from this group, but I would certainly like to hear them. And I put it forward as a real concern that there is a very important, a department of Haverford College which could develop and could be of great value, and I think that it is being largely wasted. Putting the question again, Hugh, what are the plans for the engineering department?
This isn't a new question. It is asked me every time a group of alumni meet by alumni who have gone through the engineering department. They are an extremely loyal group. 2 years ago, when I was on the campus looking over the college and being looked over by the faculty and the board, I'll not mention any names, but at one of the faculty group meetings, I was asked that question by a faculty member. Was I going to abolish the engineering department? My answer then was, and my answer now is, that I have no present intention of doing so. What the answer is to the low registration in the engineering department may be, I don't know. We obviously, I think, will never give an engineering degree. I think this would be a mistake. Students are just as free to take a major in engineering as they are to take a major in any of the natural sciences or the humanities or social sciences. There is not any pressure that I know of on the campus which discourages students to not to major in one department as opposed to another. What the registration is in comparison to that of the past few years, I couldn't tell you. I don't have the figures too clearly in mind, although I could get them very easily. This may be because of the limited offerings that we have in engineering. The equipment, the building, the experience that students who have graduated and have majored in engineering certainly shows that they have been well trained and that they have had a combination of something which has stood them in very good stead, in fact, in better stead than some people who have nothing but an engineering degree. One answer may be that there is more and more of a tendency now in all of our undergraduate programs, not just here at Haverford, to concentrate on a general course during your undergraduate days and then go into a professional school, whether it's law or medicine or engineering or graduate faculty of some other sort. This may be having an effect on our engineering people.
I'd be interested in comments that anyone else may have on this.